Dan Bongino.
Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Where did that go?
The Dan Bongino Show.
It's time we take off the gloves, okay?
Get ready to hear the truth about America.
Right now, we have a party that supports American values, and then there is a party that represents everything America isn't.
On a show that's not immune to the facts, with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to the Renegade Republican with Dan Bongino. Producer Joe, how are you today?
Hey, man, all set and ready to go, Dan. Good to be here.
You ever see Donnie Brasco, by the way?
Yeah.
You know, Al Pacino,
yeah.
Johnny Depp. My wife loves that movie. I was watching it the other day, and we didn't get through the whole thing. She thinks one of the funniest lines in the whole movie, which is so indicative of some of the people I grew up with in New York, and especially my Italian friends, me being Italian, obviously, Bongino, you know. But there's this line in the movie where he's sitting down on the couch with Lefty, played by Al Pacino, Johnny Depp playing Donnie Brasco, and the son walks in, and he walks out, and he gives him this strange look, and Al Pacino goes, you know, I can't believe it. You know, my son's a junkie. And my wife thinks this is the funniest line ever. The way he comes back to the Johnny Depp character, yeah, what are you gonna do? The guy just tells him his son's a junkie, and the best he can do is, hey, what are you gonna do? That's my buddies in New York. Forget about it. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
That was the answer to every. Hey, my car was just stolen with everything I own. Yeah, what are you gonna do? That was the answer to every single question ever. I don't know. I just felt the need to bring that up. My wife thinks it's so funny. My son's a junkie. Yeah, what are you gonna do? Forget about it. What are you gonna do? All right, so listen, on a serious note, a lot going on, and it was a major revelation in this Las Vegas attack that, folks, there's something going on here. I mean, I think that's obvious, and I'm trying to stick to what we know and not get into, you know, any kind of, like, big, bold theories that are going to, I don't want to lose any of my credibility doing this, but there's something going on, something very, very strange about this case. And let me just start with one thing. There was a revelation last night, why beat around the bush, about the use of, the subject in the case, the guy who killed himself, the killer there, that who also killed himself,
right?
That he was trying to acquire tracer rounds. Tracer rounds are rounds that leave a visible trail when they're fired from the gun. You would typically load them, you know, every like fifth round or third round. And the idea behind a tracer round is you can see where some of the rounds are going, if you're firing in high volume.
Right.
So if you had a belt-fed weapon, it'll give you a better idea downrange where the rounds are actually going because you can see them as they project out from the barrel of the weapon. Now, there was a police officer on this morning, and his theory is perfectly valid. I'm not questioning him at all. He was on Fox this morning, very knowledgeable guy. And they asked him about the tracer rounds and the subject trying to acquire them. And, you know, he said, well, they could have been done to increase accuracy from the end, you know, for the shooter. But and he may be correct. I'm not sure. But, folks, I think this speaks to something in conjunction with another development yesterday that should bother everyone here.
Mm.
Actually, a couple of developments. Number one, the Dems are really, really quiet right now on gun control. I know it doesn't seem that way, especially given the last two shows I've done. But relatively speaking, the common hysteria the Democrats will try to, which they commonly use after every one of these shooting attacks,
right,
is noticeably absent on this one. Do you remember after Orlando, the Orlando nightclub shooting, the Democrats, despite they knew they were breaking every rule of the House of Representatives, they sat there and they videotaped themselves on the floor and all that stuff, and they were all over the country pushing for gun control. Every day there was a new speech. Have you noticed how, relatively speaking, they've been particularly quiet on this? Now, folks, this is a fact confirmed to me by a lot of knowledgeable people on the inside. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you I deal with a lot of folks who know a lot of stuff about what goes on. And even they've commented on it on some emails that there is something going on behind the scenes, and there's something going on about the Democrats' noticeable lack of, we got to go out and push guns, or we got to go out and push gun control, or, you know, Republicans, you're all going to lose and we're going to make you run on gun advocacy. And they're just not doing that.
Right.
Combine that with the tracer rounds, his desire to acquire tracer rounds, the attacker, and also ISIS's revelation last night through their weekly newsletter. They released this newsletter that they print and release online. I think it's called Al Naba, N-A-B-A.
Uh-huh.
And last night, they released this newsletter and again, Joe, again, claimed responsibility for this attack, claiming that the shooter was radicalized and was motivated by, you know, Islamic fundamentalist ideology.
Okay.
Folks, this is very strange. Now, ISIS has in the past claimed, just to be fair here, has claimed credit for attacks, notably the one in Manila, that were deemed later not the result of ISIS, but, you know, other motivations altogether. But it's very rare for them to do that, not just once, but now twice, and now put it out in their newsletter. You may say, what do these all have to do with one another? The Democrats being quiet on this says to me that they know something, that there's something about this case they know that points to a radicalization, that the Democrats would change on a dime. Because remember, the Democrats, the Islamic terror thing does not, remember, the Democrats are all about politics. I just want to be clear where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. They're all about politics. Forget this gun control thing has nothing to do with safety or security or anything. This is about political leverage. Number one, the polling data on the gun control issue is terrible for them. Number two, if this guy turns out was radicalized, if, we don't know, but if that's the case, and I'm giving you evidence, I'm not just throwing this out there as some crazy kooky theory so you'll listen to the show. I'm telling you what's been posted by ISIS. What the suspicion of many people up on the Hill is that they know the real reason, and the reason Democrats now are not trying to make this case a big, big thing like they were with the last two, as although, I mean, politically speaking, it's obviously a national tragedy. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is because they know the story is going to change rather soon, and when it changes, this is an issue that's going to benefit Republicans, not Democrats. Politically, I'm not justifying the fact that people use these tragedies for political leverage. I'm telling you what's going on behind the scenes. Now, what do the tracer rounds have to do with all this? Folks, I don't think this guy tried to acquire the tracer rounds for accuracy purposes, because if you wanted accuracy, you would not use a bump stock and you would not fire from 1,400 feet away.
It makes sense.
Bump stocks. By the way, this new device that goes on the stock of a weapon that uses the recoil pressure to simulate a cyclical fire rate of an automatic weapon. It doesn't turn a semi-automatic into an automatic weapon. An automatic weapon is one trigger pull, multiple rounds. That's not what a bump stock does. You don't use bumps. Nobody I know who are operators, military people, federal agents, cops, recreational sportsmen who use firearms. Nobody I know uses a bump stock. You know why, folks? They suck. They jam up your weapons. They're atrociously inaccurate, and they are a very poor replacement for the mechanics of a fully automatic weapon, if that's what you're looking to simulate. They cause untold jams. You think I'm making this up? Read any report out there that covers what they saw on the inside of the hotel room the shooter was in. What did they find, Joe? A bunch of jammed weapons. Bump stocks suck. They are a terrible device. I don't think they're really they're particularly effective in what they're trying to do. This banning of bump stocks or this regulatory push, I think, is a sham measure. It's not going to do anything. You're not going to legislate this away. It's really it's Congress trying to feel good about themselves, you know, doing something politically to try to gain leverage. Now, having told you how poorly I think designed bump stocks are for accuracy, why would you buy tracer rounds to increase your accuracy while in turn using a bump stock that's going to decrease your accuracy? There is no question in my mind that the tracer rounds were done for the visual effect. Mm. Now, again, I'm not going to point you to Hollywood movies for any sense of reality, but I don't have a range to show you right now. And even if this was a video podcast, I'm not going to go shoot a tracer round from a 5.56 round to show you what it looks like. But if you've ever seen Hollywood movies where, you know, they fire a round and you see it leaving the gun, it looks like a laser almost. That's what a tracer round is. It is an extremely disturbing thing to see if you were on the receiving end of that. I think this subject went to go acquire tracer rounds to make this attack appear on video that much more horrifying, as if it could get any more horrifying. You see what I'm saying, Joe?
Yeah, I do.
Which says to me that the radicalization theory and ISIS's claims that this may have been a radicalized subject of theirs may in fact be legitimate. In other words, this guy had, I don't think the tracer rounds had anything to do with accuracy. If he was interested in accuracy, he wouldn't have used bump stocks and he wouldn't have shot from the 32nd floor.
Right.
He would have just stood out on Las Vegas Boulevard. It doesn't make sense. And the Dems are really quiet. So the point I'm trying to make here is I think the radicalization story is and may turn out to be legitimate in the coming days. You would hear Democrats all over the place if this was strictly a gun control story. The fact, and which, by the way, they think works for them politically. The fact that there may be a hint of radicalization here, mm-hmm. an issue that works for Republicans and national security folks, may be leading to the fact that they're really quiet right now on this whole topic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, folks, there's something not right about this. This case just stinks. There is something about this that's off. Okay. I want to get to a more important topic. Before we get to that, today's show brought to you by our buddies at My Patriot Supply. Big fan of these guys over there. They do great work. They sell emergency food. Now, I know, and this is kind of going to segue nicely into my second topic, almost unintentionally. But, folks, I know a lot of you are saying, well, why would I need that? Well, you know, why do you need insurance for a house fire? That may never happen either. But the results are so catastrophic. When it happens, you need to have the financial ability to rebuild your home, to have shelter over your head. Folks, why would you not insure your food supply then? It doesn't make any sense. By the way, for a fraction of the cost of what it takes to insure your home against a fire that, thank God, is probably never going to happen. By the way, I lived through a house fire. It's really nasty. I lost everything. It's horrible. Folks, you have to insure your food supply. Better to have food and not need it than to need the food and not have it. Go to preparewithdan.com. That's preparewithdan.com. And for just $99, you can pick up a one-month supply of emergency food from My Patriot Supply. It's good for 25 years. It's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You only need water to prepare it. Stick it in your closet. Hopefully, you'll never have to look at it. But with everything going on, folks, the chances are small, but they are not insignificant that one day you may have to crack that box. Go give it a shot. Preparewithdan.com. Just $99 for a one-month supply. All right. You know, there's an interesting piece by Peggy Noonan in the Wall Street Journal today, who writes, she's a very gifted writer, by the way. She does an unbelievable job. And in the piece, she talks about this disconnect between liberals and conservatives and how they don't understand one another. And she poses an interesting question that she answers in her way, and I want to answer in mine because it's a good one, Joe.
Right.
Why do we need guns? And why do liberals not understand why we need guns? So hence the title of the show today, you know, Dear Liberals, Here's Why We Own Guns. Let me just be clear on this, folks. If you're a liberal listener, and again, I know we have them, and you're genuinely interested in that question, which you claim you are, Joe,
yeah.
Because liberals go on Fox and CNN and MSNBC all the time, these talking heads, and they go, I just don't understand. I just don't understand why you think you need guns. I just don't get it.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Dude, that was funny. That was good. I did not see that coming. What are you going to do? Well, forget about it. What are you going to do? That's in New York with me when I lived, that would be my answer. What are you going to do? I have, since I've gotten into political commentary, what are you going to do? And forget about it. It doesn't really work anymore. So I put together a little homework on this. And if you're sincerely, if you're not, if you're a liberal hack and you don't care and you're just saying that because you think it sounds good, you know, like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, we need to have a conversation. Okay, we're having a conversation. I am going to add to the conversation right now. Here's why we need guns. You are asking us, right, liberals and gun control advocates, you are asking us to have absolute faith in government to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're asking us to do, despite the evidence of Joe's favorite book, Black Swan
yes.
events. You are asking us to have absolute faith, folks, not relative faith here. You're asking us, not comparative faith, not like comparative advantage versus absolute advantage. You are asking us, gun owners, to have absolute faith in the government to protect us, okay? Don't worry, you don't need guns. Only the cops and the military can have guns. They'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Despite the evidence of what we can all agree are Black Swan events. Black Swan events, it's a great book, by the way. I talk about it all the time by Nicholas Taleb. I can't recommend it highly enough. And in the book, he talks about these. A black swan is a rare event. Swans are white. If you see a black swan, you're like, wow, that's strange. Black swan events are rare events. But in these black swan events, the consequences of the black swan event should matter. In other words, a black swan event, you know, like getting stung by a bee, Joe,
mm-hmm.
is not an event, which is rare. I've been stung by a bee once in my lifetime. I've been alive for 42 years. Can we agree it's rare?
Yeah.
Now, I don't have an allergy to bee stings. So for me to spend any significant amount of time preparing for a low risk, low probability event like that, a bee sting, is ridiculous. Follow me, folks. It's going to make sense. If specifically liberals, you asked why we own guns. I'm going to explain it to you. Open your ears for a second if you're interested. I get stung by a bee. It's not a big deal. It's going to hurt. I think it was in my shoe one time and I was golfing, which I'm terrible at, by the way. I tried it one time. It was awful. And I got stung in the foot and it hurt. And you know what happened to me? Nothing. It didn't even swell. For me to go out there in an armored bullet resistant suit, Joe, in Florida, I mean, I'm preventing bee stings, right?
Right.
I'm preventing them. It's a low risk, low probability event, but I need to prevent bee stings. So I go out in the armored suit. It's ridiculous. We can all agree because you're taking a mitigation measure, the costs to you, which are far greater than the risks of anything happening. You're going to be hot. You're going to have to go buy this bullet-resistant suit. You're going to have to put it on every day. You won't get stung by a bee, right?
Right.
It'll land on the Kevlar outfit you have on. You have prevented bee stings at a cost to you completely not commensurate with the risk or the probability of it happening. The problem with the liberal, with the modern liberal, is the liberal thinks this is a bee sting event. Us, our ownership of guns. They think our ownership of guns, Joe, and if I'm losing you, stop me,
no.
is the equivalent of wearing the Kevlar suit to protect against the bee sting.
Yeah,
bee sting.
I'm with you, yeah.
They're like, well, you being involved in a mass shooting, God forbid, that's a very low probability event. But it's not low risk to you. It's not a bee sting. Now, I'm going to argue the probability factor in a minute. But it is not low risk to you or your family. It is, in fact, terminal. It's over. Yes, liberals, you are correct. These are black swan events, singularly, not collectively. In other words, the chance of me being involved in an attack like had happened in Mandalay Bay are very slim. I agree.
Right.
But the risk, Joe, is it's over. It's done. It's not anaphylactic shock. It's not the pain of a bee sting. It is death. It is terminal. There is the risk to you is everything. It is all over. There is no coming back. Only one person rose from the dead. Jesus Christ. It's not going to be me.
Yeah.
Not in that sense, at least. I do believe in the second creation, but not that way. Do you understand where I'm going with this? That, well, liberals, here's what you... And I will concede to you the low probability part, but you're making this out to us. You're making us to be the Kevlar-wearing outfit people in a bee sting, not understanding that it's not a bee sting. It is a fatal event. Now, on your point, you may say, okay, it's a fatal event, but the chances are really low. But that's not what you're asking us. You're asking us for absolute faith. You are asking us in many cases to not purchase weapons we want to defend ourselves under the mistaken idea that we should have absolute faith in the government possessing, Joe, these weapons because they will protect us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why are these not low probability events? They are when you view them singularly. But now, are we crazy or are we reasonable here when we put the analysis of the probability collectively together? Here's what I mean. Let's just go over a couple things here. You've got the North Korean little fat kid, the maniac over there, testing nuclear weapons and openly threatening an EMP attack on our electrical grid, which would basically knock out the United States Northeast Coast from having electrical power for potentially a year or more. Is that low probability? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Is it zero probability? Hell no.
That's a black swan.
You're damn right it's a black swan, which is, again, Joe, high risk and in many cases terminal.
Mm-hmm.
You have this opioid crisis breaking out. People breaking into people's homes. Is it the national catastrophe that, you know, listen, there's a lot of political feelings on both sides. I want to be clear on this because I get a lot of emails. I don't think the government... I'm sorry, folks, has a role in this. The government's done nothing in the drug war. I'm just saying there are towns ravaged by an opioid crisis where people are breaking into people's homes and stuff. Are these people going to break into your home and kill you? Very low probability. But it's not zero. And it's especially not zero when combined with the chances of being involved in a mass shooting, the North Koreans. Oh, you say, oh, well, those are three really low probability events. Okay, let's go on. Let's go. Hey, liberals, you're asking. You want an answer or not? Ferguson, Baltimore, civil unrest. Oh, well, come on. The North Koreans, Ferguson. That happened in Ferguson. Yeah, and Baltimore. Yeah, but I don't live in Ferguson or Baltimore. Oh, but you don't live on the Northeast for the North Koreans either? You don't live in Las Vegas? You never had a concert? You see where I'm going with this show?
Yeah, yeah.
How these all of these events singularly are low probability events. But you're asking us why we feel the need to own weapons to protect ourselves. The weapons we choose, not you choose. I'm giving you the answer if you're open to it. These are terminal events that are all viewed singularly, low probability, but collectively, it is very reasonable to say to yourself, well, I have a family, and the chances of the North Koreans doing something are low. The chances of a Ferguson-like riot breaking out here are kind of low. The chances of an active shooting situation are kind of low. The chances of some opioid-addicted maniac breaking into my house and killing my family are kind of low. But all combined, these are not zero probability events with no risk. It goes on. We all saw Hurricane Katrina. Total civil chaos. Mm-hmm. Folks, this just happened not very long ago. We're talking about a decade. We're not talking about 7,000 years ago. We're talking about Hurricane Katrina and Key West annihilated, where there was chaos. And Key West, obviously, a different scenario there. Puerto Rico, total chaos. Or someone corrected me. Puerto Rico. I'm sorry. That's the sometimes it just go. But they are correct. If you're going to pronounce Oregon right, and Nevada. It's Puerto Rico. So to the listener, email me. Thank you for that. So you are correct. You mm-hmm. should pronounce it right. Joe, you need more folks. I'm going to go on. Liberals, you asked, why do we have guns? Venezuela. That bastion of the socialist utopia, bastion of socialist far-left liberal values, mm-hmm. where people are eating pigeons, Joe. Pigeons and dogs. You don't believe me? Google it yourself. Venezuela, pigeons. The first article that'll probably come up is not about the pigeon watching in Venezuela. It's about the eating of pigeons. Because the government, you are asking us to have absolute, Joe, absolute faith in protecting us was the very same government that destroyed the citizenry there. It goes on. Antifa. Once a month, there's an Antifa, the Anti-First Amendment group, these far leftist kooks. Once a month or so, there's a story about Antifa beating the snot out of people who are conservatives like us. Now, am I saying a firearm's going to solve that situation? I'm not. I'm just saying we see the outbreak of civil unrest largely on the far left using politics to attack and beat people. Do I need to post the YouTube videos? Liberals, you're asking us why we own guns. You want a conversation? We're giving it to you. Just a couple more here, folks. Berkeley. That Milo guy shows up at Berkeley. They try to burn the campus down. Literally. Watch, put fires, Berkeley. Here's my last two examples. You keep telling us, oh, you don't need those weapons. You don't need this. You don't need a semi-auto. You don't need, you know, and to be clear, folks, on this, the genesis of this, I probably should have started with this. The genesis of this was not just the Peggy Noonan piece. Brett Stevens, who is just a jerk. I'm sorry. I was trying to give this guy the benefit of the doubt because I liked his writing at the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. This guy is just a jerk. He went after Mark Levin. He couldn't wipe Mark Levin's nose. And he's constantly going after Mark Levin. And the guy is just a jerk. I'm sorry, Brett, but he wrote a piece. He left the Wall Street Journal, go right at the New York Times as their fake conservative of the year. And he wrote a piece about how we should repeal the Second Amendment. And at one point in there, he writes, and these people who are like preparing for a Red Dawn scenario. Remember the movie Red Dawn? Wolverines! Oh, yeah, sure. Where the Russians attack and this high school football team like magically takes out the Russian army?
Yeah.
No, Brett, you dope. You elitist snob jerk. Red Dawn? Yeah, Brett, I think the Russians are going to storm Hammock Creek in Palm City. Are you an idiot? Are you really that stupid? That I, you know what? I own a number of weapons, a lot. I have a good amount of firearms. Mm-hmm. I'm preparing for a Russian invasion. Are you that stupid? I just gave you a bunch of reasons why rational, reasonable people, like I know I am. I'm not interested in your opinion about me. I know why I have those weapons. That's because they are an insurance policy against high risk, extremely low probability events, but low probability events that when they're combined, Joe, are not that low probability that they don't require me to take a mitigation action against them to prevent me from having to respond if, God forbid, I had to protect my family. What is unreasonable about that? Do you really think we're all walking in our gun closets with the John J. Rambo look and we're, you know, the bandana when Rambo used to put it right, he used to tie it like really dramatically. We're walking in with the bandana and then the knife goes in the belt and then we're lacing up the boots and then the BDUs come on and the belt gets going. Are you that stupid? I walk around in cargo shorts and t-shirts all day and I carry a gun on me just because I don't want to be robbed. You think I'm going out there with like a, one of those, what, balaclava ninja suit type things out there looking for the Russians in Red Dawn? I mean, you totally discredit yourself. You're like a clown when you write that. But remember, he's part of the pseudo-intellectual bow tie wearing foie gras eating class and we're all supposed to respect his opinion because I have no idea why. Idiot. Jerk. That's right. I'm sorry. It's the jerk. But he thinks we're preparing for Red Dawn. And they say, well, the likelihood of you being in a mass shooting. You know what? It's not zero. What about the Bataclan? What about Paris and Charlie Hebdo? What about Brussels, Las Vegas, San Bernardino? It's not irrelevant. And your dopey responses, these liberals, like, well, what were you going to do? Fire back at the guy in the 32nd floor? No, not at all. But I'll tell you what, if you were in San Bernardino when the guy walked in the room and pulled out a weapon and started firing, you're damn right I'm firing back. To protect me or my family. Is that, that's unreasonable? And let me end this on one final, because I got a couple other things to get to, folks. And by the way, I'm going to put out a rough cuts for tomorrow, so you're more than welcome to listen in. You know, I said to a guy on a radio station up at WBAL in Baltimore, the competitor to Joe's station, Sean and Frank are going to be mad. Yeah. Joe's like, whoa, dude, did you just mention our competitor? Yeah, actually.
What are you going to do?
That's great. Yeah, you're on fire today. You're on fire. But he's very reasonable on guns, but he is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I think this was after Sandy Hook. And I said to him, you know, why are my rights in question? And I asked him one simple question. My house had been broken into once while I was home. I've mentioned this story before. It was a very traumatizing experience. And I couldn't get out of my head, what if I would have walked downstairs, because it happened in the middle of the night. I didn't, while they were in my house. Now, I have weapons. I have access to them because I was a Secret Service agent, HR 218. I can carry a weapon all over the country, thankfully. What do you do, Joe, if you hear someone in your house and you walk downstairs? What are you going to do? Hmm? What are you going to do? Say they have a gun, which a lot, by the way, many of them do. What are you going to do? You're going to tell them, oh, no, I'm a liberal. I believe in gun control. I'm on your team. What are you going to do? Use foul language?
Yeah.
What are you going to ask them to write on the chalkboard a number of times? I won't rob any more houses. What are you going to do? Criminals don't understand anything other than force. You asked us why we carry guns, why we own guns, why we want the guns of our choice to defend ourselves. I just gave you approximately 8 to 10 reasons why it is very reasonable for us to prepare for a very high risk, extremely low probability event, because these low probability events, when viewed singularly, are low probability, but collectively, any reasonable person would take out an insurance policy against them. Just not you, liberals. Actually, you would too, because you're frauds, and a lot of you can't have bodyguards while you know you're rich and Hollywood typies, and you go out there and you have your bodyguards protecting you, but you don't want us to protect ourselves. Mm. Did that make sense, Joe?
Sure, yeah.
All right, because it's just
I didn't find anything that difficult about that at all. No.
All right, one last note on this, and I'm going to move on to a different topic. We had some economic news today, and I got an email about taxes yesterday. It really bothered me because I, no matter how many times I bring this up on taxes, I always get emails that misinterpret or completely lie sometimes about what I said. So this one was interesting. But these, I was on Dana Perino's new show on Fox the other day, The Daily Briefing at 2 o'clock, and I was on with an advocate from the Brady Center for Gun Violence, and she's basically a gun control, you know, person. And she was nice enough, Avery something. She was on last night again as well. But she threw out a number in there, and I didn't get the chance to respond. And I want to throw it out there now. She threw out a number she was using as some kind of success story for the Brady gun checks. And I mean, again, does she believe in facts and data or not? She said at one point, and you'll hear this number a lot in the news next coming couple days, because this is all, you know, the gun control thing is still out there. She said, well, you know, nearly 3 million gun sales were stopped due to gun checks because of, you know, gun check, background check laws. But she doesn't use that number in any context, Joe. In other words, she's using that as a sign of success. And my first question was going to be, but I didn't get the chance. Well, are you suggesting you stop 3 million criminals from buying guns? Because how, I don't understand. Like, how is it then in Chicago and D.C. and in America's big cities run by Democrats, there's still elevated levels of gun crime? Like, I don't. You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. The numbers mean, this is what liberals do all the time. They throw out a number with no context to it, and they expect you to respond emotionally. Like, oh, that's great. So the Brady gun campaign, we can thank them for background checks that stopped 3 million gun sales. From who? Well, I'm going to post the piece. It's not a new piece, but it's from Newsmax. It's in the show notes today, and it's a very good piece. I suggest you read it. It's by John Lott, who's done a lot of research on this. And in there, he includes some data that shows a 2004 study showing that the Brady gun checks not only had no effect on violent crime, Joe, but had no effect on any category of violent crime either. Again, liberals, don't let that data get in the way of you continually citing gun checks for stopping violent crime, despite the fact that the data doesn't say that. It's just, it is literally just you saying that. You're the only one saying that. Secondly, of those 3 million gun sales that were stopped, Joe,
right,
about 2 million of them were people because of name snafus. In other words, names, you're Joe Armacost.
Okay.
Let's say it was Joe Armacost with a K who was a wanted felon.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Joe Armacost, who has done nothing wrong, wants to go buy a firearm to protect himself. And Joe can't get a gun because Joe Armacost with a K is a similar type name and there was a screw up in the phonetics or whatever it may be.
Okay.
That's not a model of success, folks. So the Brady campaign spokesperson is basically saying 2 out of 3 of these people are stopping law-abiding citizens who should be able to purchase weapons to defend themselves, who now can't buy weapons because of our checks. By the way, while criminals are still getting guns in Chicago and Washington and all these Washington, D.C. and all these other places, this is not a model for success. The data says otherwise. But again, don't let the data get in the way of your argument. I mean, they just... it's just frustrating dealing with them. Mm. Thanks for all the emails yesterday. After yesterday's show, I got a ton of email. People saying, hang in there. I'm never giving up the fight, folks. It's just, you know, it was just frustrating. When people start sending you death threats, of, you know, with your kids and stuff. I get it's not serious. I'm not trying to be dramatic about it. I don't need, like, police protection. I'm not, like, sitting here frightened or anything. It's just, you know, it just makes you, it, more than frightening anyone, Joe, I think what it does is it makes you question humanity more.
Yeah.
Like, let me get this straight. I mean, it really does. We're trying to have an argument about who should and should not be able to obtain weapons to protect themselves. And your first response is you should die horrendously and your kids too. And it just makes you lose faith. You want to believe, I think, and I'm constantly disappointed, that the liberals we debate are good folks.
Yeah.
But as you know, because I know what they think of us, they think we're bad people, evil people attached to bad ideas. And we just think they're bad ideas attached to people on the other side. But there are times I say, you know what? These aren't good people. Yeah. They're just not. They just, they're angry, vitriolic, hate filled people who wishes death on someone and their kids.
Well, it's enlightening, isn't it? In a negative sort of way, if that
makes
any
sense. Yeah, it is. It is. It's negatively enlightening. No, yeah. You're right. It absolutely is. All right, before I move on, hey, have you signed up for CRTV yet, folks? We have a big announcement coming up. This is really exciting. I'm not allowed to say, but I wish I could. I wish I could break the news. But October 12th, we have another big announcement. You know, we just added Gavin McGinnis to the lineup. We have Mark Levin's show. We have Stephen Crowder's show, Michelle Malkin's show, Steve Dace's show. We've got quite a lineup. You got Nate over there doing the Capitol Hill brief. You got John who does the White House brief. We have really solid content at CRTV.com, and it is a fraction of what you'll pay for cable. I'll give you a promo code, right? You'll get $10 off. It's Bongino, my last name, B-O-N-G-I-N-O. Go sign up today. You can watch it on your computer. You can watch it on your smartphone. There's ways to sling it to your TV. You can watch it on your iPad. You're not going to turn on your TV again. Save yourself some money. Cut the cord. Get into this, and then you will not be disappointed. It's the best conservative content out there, and keep a lookout for that announcement on the 12th, okay? We got some good stuff coming up. All right, so I got an email yesterday from a guy. It's a nice email. He's very cool, calm, and collected about it. But he said, you know, here's the deal. You keep talking about how income tax cuts, income tax rate cuts have not cost the government money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, tax revenue goes up and has gone up basically every year and goes up for all types of reasons, you know, that are potentially unrelated to tax cuts. Folks, I don't want to beat this, you know, to death. But you're right, sir. The guy who wrote me the email. Yes. Tax revenue goes up for all kinds of reasons. The point I'm trying to make is I'm not making a correlational or causal. Well, I am making a correlation, but not a causal argument. I'm simply trying to say that the left's claims, liberals' claims that tax rate cuts are going to cost the government money are factually incorrect if you are interested in the data. I don't know the reasons that tax revenue's gone up every year. I don't know. I have my suspicions due to economic growth over time, relatively low tax rates in the United States, an entrepreneurial spirit in the United States, solid contract law, an effective court system. Over time, at least what was a light regulatory load that's changing now. Everybody has their suspicions, free marketeers, as to why the United States has been an exception to the rule and has grown over time. And as it's grown, it has grown its tax revenue as well. I'm just telling you to be clear, and I feel like I've said this, Joe, at least 50 times on the show, if not more. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you that the liberal argument that tax rate cuts are going to, quote, cost the government money are just factually not true. People always send me back, especially this guy was not a liberal. He's a nice guy. It was a great email. I want to be clear on that. But I get emails from liberals that are particularly nasty, and they never actually debunk that. They say they're going to. I'm going to show you. I read an article about percentage of nominal inflationary adjusted Keynesian keynote speaker, GDP, supercalifragilistic, make me halitosis. And this guy said this, sir, did tax revenue go up? But it went up. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I win. That's all I'm saying. Tax revenue has not gone down. So my point, I had to make this point to Austin Goolsbee when we debated on my pilot for my CRTV show. Has tax revenue gone down after tax cuts? No. That's it. That's the only answer. That's the only answer. That there's nothing else. There is no. Don't email me anything. I mean, email. I read them. I don't want to be a jerk. Email me if you feel like you have something to say. I'm just telling you, if it's not related to that point, you're making a different argument. The left can't answer that simple question. Has tax revenue gone down after major tax cuts? The answer is no. Now, why it's gone up? There's a thousand different reasons. Would it have gone up more if you had tax hikes? Has tax revenue gone up when you've had some tax hikes? It's gone up then too. The point is, if I am going to err on the side of an economic policy, Joe, I want to err on the side of a policy that puts more money in my wallet, don't you?
Yeah.
And if more money in my wallet can be achieved while simultaneously decreasing the tax rates, then why would we, and by the way, government revenue still going up to pay off some of our debt. Why would you not take that approach? No, I want to pay more. Yeah, but you can pay less and still get more money to the government. No, I want to pay more. Okay, good. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. It's voluntary. Ooh, man, is it frustrating sometimes dealing with that? All right. This is important, by the way. The September job numbers came out. I don't want anybody to panic. They were not good. The September job numbers came out. It turns out we lost 33,000 jobs. I'll put in the show notes, good article out there by CNS News. I think they work with the Media Research Center. I try to put links in there, by the way, that are conservative outlets, so we don't start paying off the Washington Post with clicks or anything. But folks, don't panic. It's not great news. I don't want to do what people did in the Obama administration, the liberals. Like every time there was economic bad news, they had an excuse. But last month, we added 150,000 jobs. We lost 33,000 this month. It's the first time in 7 years. But you got to dig into the numbers. A couple quick points on this so you can calm your liberal friends down who are probably freaking out and celebrate. Joe, they're probably celebrating that the economy's collapsing right now, or they think it is, right? 105,000 jobs were lost based on the job numbers in Texas and Florida. What, something happened in Texas and Florida? Yeah, we had a couple of hurricanes. We had Harvey and we had Hurricane Irma. Now, keep in mind, the unemployment rate actually went down. And here's where people are getting screwed up on this. They're saying, I don't get it. If we lost 33,000 jobs in September, how did the unemployment rate go down to 4.2? Because, folks, this is why I'm telling you not to worry. The way they categorize jobs added or jobs lost is a different methodology than how they categorize unemployment. Let me make this make sense for you. The job loss numbers, Joe, if you are a, and by the way, the job losses were concentrated in Texas and Florida, a lot of them, and they were concentrated in the food and like bar type business arena. Completely makes sense.
Yeah.
No one's going out to a restaurant in the middle of a hurricane. Now, the reason those numbers are so high, 33,000 jobs lost, is because if you miss a couple of paychecks, let's say, whatever, Joe's Saloon, right, Joe? You have 10 employees.
Yep.
If you tell them, hey, you got to take a couple weeks off or a week off so we can prepare here for the hurricane, you're counted as a job lost, despite the fact that your job's not lost. Does that make sense? So you will not be categorized as unemployed in the unemployment numbers. So does that make sense? So I just don't want you to panic. There was actually a lot of good news in this report. Hourly wages are up 2.9%. Unemployment is down because outside of Texas and Florida and the food and beverage industry in Texas and Florida, which took a temporary job loss, which is inflating those job loss numbers, job growth around the rest of the country has been pretty solid. But does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
You would be, if Joe, God forbid at the radio station, if there was a hurricane that hit Baltimore, and they told you, Joe, we're going off the air for 5 days, you could be technically counted as a job lost.
Okay.
But you're not counted in the unemployment numbers.
Yeah.
Because you're not unemployed.
I got somewhere to go back to,
Right, right, exactly. So they're calculated differently. So the point I'm trying to make is don't panic. The numbers, they're not obviously not good. Anytime you have a negative job number and not a big, big job growth number, it's bad. But given what happened to the economy, my suspicions are you're going to see a nice rebound next month from this. So don't worry too much. All right, can I just kind of sum up? I don't usually do this, but just to go back to the first thing I talked about, I'm going to wrap it up. I just want to be clear on this so I don't get into like, you know, conspiratorial nonsense, all right? Folks, I'm pretty convinced over the next coming days you're going to see this radicalization thing come out. This case makes no sense. My experience is in the Secret Service with school shootings, and we did a thing called the Exceptional Case Study Project, Joe. The Secret Service did this years ago where they studied presidential assassins. None of the pre-attack indicators of an assassin or a targeted violence, someone involved in targeted violence is there in this case. This doesn't make any sense. There is something seriously wrong here. If this guy was as psychologically disturbed as it would take to do this with no motivation at all, in other words, you weren't radicalized, it wasn't revenge or anything like that, there would be some indicators. They're missing. So don't be surprised at all if you see some kind of a radicalization thing come out in the next few days. All right, folks, thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please go to my email list, bongino.com. You can subscribe there. I will send you all these cool articles, including the one from CNS News telling you not to panic about this, you know, this data, and the Peggy Noonan article as well, which is really good. I'll talk to you all tomorrow.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show. Get more of Dan online anytime at conservativereview.com. You can also get Dan's podcasts on iTunes or SoundCloud. And follow Dan on Twitter 24/7 at DBongino.